be live on the air now. You should be coming through. Welcome everybody out there to DS106. There might be a little bit of echo. I'll figure out why in a second. And that should still... We should still come through pretty clear. Okay. All right. We are we're about officially 1 week into the daily shoot now. And it's been pretty remarkable to watch all of you photograph and get in this habit. Some of you have been reflecting on it regularly. Some of you have actually taken your week and come back and talked about your photos and some of your ideas. I mean, I want you to get in the habit of reflecting back on the work you do. It's key to this class. It's key to the idea of thinking about the work you do, not just being a happenstance, something that you can get in the habit of, like we talked about last time we met, this kind of habit of creativity. I also want you to start thinking about this reflecting and thinking about narrating the process of learning, because it's going to be key to your final stories. And remember, your final stories, we're going to meet as I'm going to meet with all the registered students in this class over the next 2 weeks. I'm going to put out, by the end of this week, I'm going to put out a schedule. Then you're going to meet with me at least for 5 or 10 minutes, and we're going to talk about the final project. We're going to talk about where you are in this class, how comfortable you are. I don't do grades the same way other people do. We sit down and we talk about where you are at any given time 3 times in a semester. So I want you to be ready for that. We'll have a schedule. You can do it according to the schedule. It should be pretty easy. But that's a big part. Now, what I want you to think about going forward for the next week or two is what I'm thinking about for this final project, this kind of digital story, quote unquote, is that it's not going to be week 15, week 16, you give me a finished product. You say, hey, here's my finished product. I'm not interested in that at all. If you give me that, I wouldn't even know what to do with it. I'd probably give it back to you. What I want you to think about is doing a story, narrating a story over the course of anywhere from 9 to 10 weeks where you're reflecting back on a process that you're thinking about. This could be anything from learning guitar to lucid dreaming to learning how to edit video to continuing with your photography to mashing up sounds to analyzing movies. That is up to you. I'm giving you a tremendous amount of freedom in this regard. But what I do ask and what is required is that you regularly, over the course of the next 9 or 10 weeks, narrate the process of your learning in this particular choice of story. Now, you'll still be doing all the regular assignments that we're doing, and some of you have obviously already gone above and beyond what has been assigned, and it's been amazing to watch that process. That said, that digital story, the ongoing digital story for the next 9 to 10 weeks, is a requirement of the course if you're taking it for credit. And I'm going to actually ask you to think about this now. What is this going to require from you? And this is where people run into problems in this class, and it's remarkable to me. You know, the whole idea of you give people too much freedom and they hang themselves, it's actually true. I want you to think about what is interesting to you, what you can sustain for 9 to 10 weeks, and what you think you can openly reflect about over the course of that time. Right? This is what we're going to talk about at our meeting. We're going to talk about what you've chosen, what's your idea behind it, and how you plan to go forward with it. Now, I'll write something out more official and send it out to everybody, but at the same time, start thinking about this. What is something that you would like to reflect about openly over the course of the next 9 to 10 weeks? Also, something you'd like to learn. And I've had students do unbelievable stuff with photography, with learning Photoshop, with learning how to kind of mash up video or audio. These are all possibilities, right? But they're not limited to it. I had someone do some really interesting stuff on lucid dreaming, which I think is fascinating. I wouldn't have thought about it. But I'm not going to limit you in that regard. But what I am going to demand of you is that you regularly reflect back on what you've been doing. Does that make sense? Okay. I'll send out more specific information about this by the end of this week. A little bit of an update for Thursday. Thursday's class is going to be entirely via radio, DS106 radio. I'm going to be in New Orleans on Thursday, so I won't be able to actually be physically in the class.
I imagine because of the way the internet works, you can do this class on Thursday from anywhere. And it's going to be me and Tim Owens talking about principles of design and thinking about what design might mean to DS-106. Some of you have already jumped into the deep end of the pool when it comes to submit your own assignments and do some of these design assignments. And we're going to talk about them tonight. But I've been blown away. I mean, Colleen, you submitted that playlist thing. I think now it's up to like 23 people have done it. I mean, that's just amazing for me to think about. You are shaping this class with your ideas. One of the things that's important, and I want to actually bring it to your attention now, there was an assignment called the 4 Icon Challenge, right? And I've done it, and a few number of people have done it. We're going to look at it tonight. Well, one of the things is when you submit an assignment, I'm not expecting necessarily that you dream up the assignment nuts to bolts and you put it in, you're like, oh, this is mine, great. But if it's not yours and you took it from somewhere else, please credit the source. Kyle Tzek, who actually came up with the 4 Icon Challenge, contacted me via email. He's like, look, I love that you guys are using this as part of your class. This is amazing, but there was no place of attribution for me. This is a guy, and this is what we talk about, attribution with images, and we'll get to that shortly. But if you use something online that someone else has used, try and find the source, or at least give a source you know of. You know, don't pass it off as yours. It's no different than what you do for a paper, right? Don't pass off stuff as yours that's not. If you have found this idea from somewhere, just link to it. You give yourself credit for submitting the essay, but it's not necessarily your idea, right? It's probably an amalgam of many people's ideas. Just recognize that. You know, you're not going to get discounted anything for recognizing that. In fact, that's what we need to do more of on the web. Speaking of, let's talk a little bit about Flickr and your daily shoots. Your daily shoots have been amazing. I've been going crazy on Flickr, commenting on your stuff, reading your stuff, looking at it. I'm mesmerized by what you guys are doing, and seeing the stuff come through so regularly and seeing such high quality work, I couldn't ask for more. But there's been some confusion, so let's clarify this now. Your daily shoots, only the ones you choose as your daily shoots, should be open Creative Commons licensing. And I'll show you how to do that now. But they should not all your photos, but any of the photos you designate as the daily shoot for that day needs to be Creative Commons for it to show up on the daily shoot site and for it to show up in the 5-card Flickr story, which we'll talk about in a second. Does that make sense? Now, how do you show a license? How do you change your license on a photo? Because I think it defaults to all rights reserved. So let's go quickly to Flickr, a site you're all familiar with. Let me ask you, how do you guys like Flickr? Yeah, Nora, why?
It's a great place to upload images, but I'm still trying to figure out how to get comments sent to me.
Oh, email to you.
Yeah, email to me. And so if someone comments on my photos, I have no idea.
You have no idea. Yeah, I check it regularly enough, but I haven't gotten emails. Is anyone getting email commentary of Flickr? You are.
Yeah.
How are you doing it?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I just set up my account, and I've been getting emails when it gets sent to my phone, so I keep getting them.
You're getting them from your phone. Okay. That's a good project. Anyone want to go out there and find out how it's done and blog it? You know, blog that. The blogosphere is hot today. Blog it. You guys listen to DS-106 Radio, you know what I'm talking about. I am blogging. Have you heard that one yet? Philistines, what are you doing with all your free time? Okay, anyway, that said, we'll find out. There's got to be a way. I actually have never thought of it. I'm on Flickr enough that I don't know, but that's a good point. I want updates emailed to me. I don't have to go back and forth. What else? Opinions about Flickr. How are you liking it so far? You're certainly using it. Audrey.
I know you can create sets and batches and all that stuff, but it still feels like oddly disorganized to me, like with the photo stream and everything. Like I organize them, but like every time I get to my photo stream and like look at other people's photos, it feels like incoherent. I don't know.
So you're a bit confused
by that? Like I understand how it works. It's fine. It just seems kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think, do you have a pro account? Or do you have just a regular account, you get up to 3 sets.
Do you pay?
200 photos, yeah. But when you want pro, you pay $25 a year. And that's the only social media I pay for is Flickr. Because I need that archive for my photos. And I have now thousands on there. But that's the only one I pay for. Now, if Flickr goes out, I'm going to have to find a backup plan quick. But Yeah, I mean, frankly, I have found Flickr in terms of following commentary for this class and on your photos unbelievably simple. I mean, I just go and I see everybody who's replied to me on my homepage. I see everyone who's commented on my picture. I'm able to see comments other people make on other pictures I've commented on. It's a really clean infrastructure, a really clean flow for following commentary. What's more that I like about Flickr, because you're logged in, you can edit your comments, which is perfect for me because I make all sorts of grammatical errors and all sorts of typos. So I can get in there and fix them up. Whereas when I comment on your blogs and then I get sucked in there, I'll look at the comment. I'm like, oh, I should have really proofread that. But I usually don't. But that's one another thing I like. And this is just to give you an example. This is what it looks like, right? So here are just some comments, stuff that have been made recently that I'm part of. And I like the ability to track that conversation. The other thing is, if you don't have it installed, install subscribe to comments on your blog. Because that's the easiest way for me to respond immediately to a comment in the conversation on a blog. It's important to get that immediate feedback. If you don't have it on your blog, I want to know why. That should be on there, subscribe to comments. All right, so let me just go to my Flickr photo stream. And what I'm going to do is, here's my recent photo. I'm still struggling over today's photo, the whole preparedness. I actually emptied out my computer bag and I put it, laid it all out. And then the student aides who I work with was like, that's so unoriginal. Aren't you supposed to be about creativity and stuff? And they totally like slammed me. They were like, that's lame. So I went back to square one. So thanks to my student aides. So mean. Okay, now, you see where I'm here and I go to edit, right? There's a little edit button. I can edit not only privacy settings, et cetera, but let me go back. That's who can see it. Let me go into the photo itself. And then on the lower right-hand side, it says owner settings, show more, and then it says attribution edit. Next to all rights reserved, there should be a little edit button where you can now make it Creative Commons, right? There's several licenses under Creative Commons. There's the general Creative Commons that allows anyone to reuse it as long as they give credit. There's the share alike, where not only can they use it, but they can share it, but there's share alike without modifying. There's also something called non-commercial, which is you can only reuse it freely if you're not making money on that. And that's a very, in terms of licensing, that's a very complicated, in my particular line of work and my professional work, that's a very kind of heated debate about whether you should keep it non-commercial or commercial. I prefer non-commercial, but I could see the arguments for commercial, so that's still very much murky area. And the whole licensing situation is murky. Creative Commons, though, at the basis, is basically saying, I'm cool, you can reuse my photo without calling me. It's basically saying, like, I'm not a jackass. Come on, call me, all rights reserved. It's just basically saying, my photos are open. Use them as you feel free. Now, if you're making a living off your photography, you're probably going to do all rights reserved, right? But you can decide freely to share your stuff open, right? It's not the only way to do it, but it makes a ton of sense. And for the daily shoots that you choose in this class, you will need to make those Creative Commons. So if you haven't been showing them up or they're not Creative Commons, which many of them are not, change that. The other thing, and I can't stress this enough, daily shoots need to be taken daily. They need to be contemporary. They do not, I'm sorry, Lex, they should not be someone else's photo. I had an incident of that, which is absurd to me, but I did. And you should be tweeting them regularly to Daily Shoot. I should see those tweets regularly. And the other thing about the tweets, it should be at Daily Shoot, link to the Flickr image, hashtag DS, today is 450, then hashtag DS106. All right? Does that make sense? Yes?
You said you wanted us to put that on the Flickr picture too?
Yes, put it on the Flickr picture too, because you know what's happening with the Flickr picture is if you put DS106 and DS450, I'm pulling them into the DS106 site. And you can see on the DS106 site, if you go there, you can see all of the details for that. The daily shoot, if I go to DS450 today, right, you'll see here's the photos that have come in so far. Right? And sometimes it takes a little while for them to show up because the cache needs to be reset. And I flush the cache every time I can. But once you tag them DS106 and, for example, this day, DS450 on Flickr, they will show up here as well. So not only will they show up on the Daily Shoot page, but they will show up on the DS-106 class site too. Does that make sense? Okay, so we have another week of this, and I'm gonna keep doing this throughout the semester. I'm loving this right now. I want them regularly, right? I want them to be your own, and I want them tagged correctly, and I want them Creative Commons. Does that make sense? Any questions? Yeah, Grant.
So you just go to add tag?
What?
Flickr?
Add a tag, DS-106, and then whatever that day, daily shoot is the day. DS-450, DS-451, et cetera. Does that make sense? And you see the add a tag on Flickr? You see what that is? You go right here, and I'll go to my, so there's Cali 4 Beach, going crazy with the comments. Now, let me go on this photo. If I go to this photo, let me go back, and I look, you'll see I have tags here. My tags are DS-106, DS-449, UMW. And then I can just click add a tag and put on another tag, right? On that photo page. Make sense? Okay. All right. I sent out, did everyone get my week 5 breakdown? All right. Something else I want to mention in there. That's an email I sent out to both the online registered students and the face-to-face, which is you, as well as I put it on the blog for anyone else who's interested in this stuff that I'm talking about right now. What this is kind of a catching us up where we are and what I expect. I kind of let the daily shoot take over for the last week, but now we're going to move into some interesting territory, and we're going to talk about that tonight. That's what our focus is going to be on, is on design. But just so you know, I just reiterated what I just said about daily shoots, right? I also reiterated that the story should be your own. The other thing I want to see by the end of this week is I want to see a 5-card story. Some of you already started these, and they're awesome. I'm really enjoying your 5-card stories. But be sure, if you haven't yet, tag your 5-card stories 5-card, the one that you blog, right? So when you blog it, put the tag as 5-card. That way I'll be able to kind of bring all those 5-card stories together. So if you haven't done that yet, just let me know, and I'll tag it within the DS-106 site if you've already done the 5-card story but haven't tagged it. So that's something you have up this week, is the 5-card story. Be sure you get that done. Also, plugins. I've been looking around. I don't know if you've realized this yet, but I'm everywhere all the time. I know what you're doing. If I don't, something's wrong. That means you're not doing something. That's problematic for me. Some of you don't have your Flickr plugins working. I want to be able to go to your site, and I want to see the images you've taken. If you're blogging them regularly, that's fine. I hope you're reflecting a bit on why you're doing certain things. But if you're not, and I go to your site and I see no trace of Flickr, I can only assume you're not doing it. I want to see either the images in the sidebar pulling in from a Flickr widget. That's part of you playing with your site and making it your own. Okay? So be sure to experiment with Flickr images or Flickr widgets, Flickr plugins. Now, if you're having problems, which I know someone emailed me or Twittered me today about, I'll actually help you. Maybe today was kind of a rough day, but just play with that. Make sure I see a trace of your images on your site. Does that make sense? Okay, because that was part of the assignment when we first started. So be sure. Okay, now, this is where it starts getting fun. And you guys have already started playing with this, and we'll talk about this tonight. The visual and the design assignments that you guys are doing on your own and submitted. And I've just been blown away by what you've done already. Let's take a look at this. When you do a visual or a design assignment, and you'll all be expected to do at least one visual and one design assignment this week, right? You've been doing it on your own, but now I want to see everybody stepping it up. What you need to remember is you need to tag it twice. You'll notice how key tagging is for this class. It's key because it allows us to organize things on the back end of the DS-106 site to give us the ability, so when you go to assignment like the playlist, poetry playlist, you can see everybody who's done that assignment, right? And I'll show you that. So it's very important you tag your assignments properly. So I went over that. I reiterated that. Other thing, very important. Next week, we're going to start playing with audio, right? Start getting our hands dirty with audio. I linked to where you download Audacity. It's where we're going to start. Some of you use GarageBand, other stuff. I want you to play with Audacity. It's an open source tool. It's cross-platform, and I know we're all on the same page. I can also support it. That means I have documentation, which I've linked to in that email as well. I want you to take a look at that. I want you to get up and running with Audacity, because come next Tuesday, we're going to be playing with it as a workshop in the class. And I don't want you to waste time by trying to install it then. I want it installed and working on your computer before you come into class on Tuesday, next Tuesday. If you have a problem, email me. Make sense? Good. All right. Finally, for those of you out there who are in the online section or in the open section, obviously these classes are being recorded, right? What I want you to do, if you'd like, is you'll see there's a new part on the, there's a new section on the DS-106 class site, which is basically session archives, which has archives of when Gardner Campbell spoke, Alan Levine spoke, as well as Brian Alexander, Darcy Norman, and our last class. It will also be, this class will be on there. This is for anybody who can't make this time. They can go and they can listen, right? So just remember that that's there and available to anyone who wants it. And I think for that part, that's about it. Finally, one thing, and it's important. Your DS-106 profiles. You're going to get a lot of different social media in this class. You're going to get Flickr, you're going to get YouTube, right, or Vimeo, or Blip. What I need you to do on the DS106.us site is go in there and update it. I want to see what your Flickr address is, your URL, so I can find you there, your Twitter URL, etc. So be sure on the DS106 site, where I am right now, you update that information every time you get a new social media service. Does that make sense? Okay, good. So that's a quick run-through of where we are. Right? That's a kind of breakdown, week 5. We're still going on with the daily shoot, but like I said, I'm piling on more work. And that's going to be the name of the game. Right? I'm going to just keep on piling more till you break. And once you break, then we'll see if we can put it back together. You guys aren't that amused by that, are you? Although, you guys are setting the standard by going so hog wild with all this stuff. So, that's fine with me. All right, let's talk a little bit. For those of you out there, I'm going to actually go on the home page of DS-106, you'll see there's a link called Visual Design Talking Points for Today, 2811. And I'm going to go there, and it's a presentation. It's a very brief presentation linking to a couple of sites that I want to talk about. So I'm going to put down the lights here, and we're going to go through a couple of these and talk about this idea of design and talk about some of the examples at the end of the class that you guys are already doing. But I want to kind of talk about the genesis of DS-106 along the lines of not only the visual, because the daily shoots, we started the daily shoots in spring of 2010, a year ago. And that was very successful, and it still is. One of the things I never got to in the spring of 2010, in which we got to a little bit under the kind of, under the topic of fan fiction last semester, in fall 2010, but this semester I'm dedicating at least a week, if not more, to thinking about design. Thinking about design on the web, because I think it's, you know, one of the most fascinating parts when you start seeing, I've gotten all these links, and you know, I've kind of collected a whole bunch of stuff from people who shared it, and it's about time to kind of share some of that stuff out with you and see what you guys can come up with. Now, one of the things that got this class rolling in early December, well before you even knew what you were in for, was this, and I've already showed you an example of this, was this, if we don't remember me, right? This is this, I don't know, man, woman, who's been doing on a daily basis, like 2 or 3 of these animated GIFs, right? Or GIFs, as people call them. I call them GIFs. But as you can see, there's this crazy form of design that's going on here. This kind of sense of art, this subtle screenshot from a film, that he then, or she then, animates, right? And usually the animation is subtle. You can see with the Clockwork Orange one, it's a little less subtle. But look at this one from the Royal Tenenbaums, right? What's happening? Where's the animation in this photo?
Her hair's moving.
Oh, she blinks.
Just, she blinks in her hair, right? And it's really this subtlety. Now, before the class even started, and this is when I was in Italy, it was like 2 or 3 weeks, there was a steady flow of animated GIFs for people who were in the open class who were just kind of revving up. And I want to actually collect all those and put them in one place so we could see them. But this is something that now we're getting into the visual design, I'd actually ask you guys to start experimenting a little bit with animated GIFs, right? The idea of this, and this is a design assignment or a visual assignment you could choose. I think it's called peanut butter or something. I'll select it or I'll show it to you when we're in the submit your assignment section. But one of the things to think about, and one of the ideas behind this, is to make it subtle, to make it minimalistic, but also that scene should somehow capture the essence of the film, of the TV show, etc. So there's some thinking that has to go in, right? Not only is it probably a film that you're deeply related to, but it should also be something that you actually try and pare down and represent what you think is in some ways that thema of the film. I mean, if you've seen Royal Tenenbaums, you know the relationship between the brother and sister is a deep one, right? And it actually drives much of the film. And you have this kind of family heirloom with the eagle here or with the peregrine falcon. So there is, and this clip or this shot really does represent that. Now, Bionic Teaching and also wrapping.marthabirdis.net. So both Martha Birdis, who teaches Section 1 of Digital Storytelling, and Tom Woodward, who teaches in Richmond, actually have done some excellent tutorials about the animated GIF. And you could find the one I'm thinking of at bionicteaching.com. And he's done some awesome stuff with the animated GIF. So be sure to check that out. So that was our first kind of foray into the design experimentation. Now, before we go on, here's the one that I was talking about earlier. And this is one that people have already done, and I really like this example. This is Kyle Tezak's site, and Kyle is actually the one who came up with the Four Icon Challenge. And what is the Four Icon Challenge? Well, let's go to Kyle Tezak's site and take a look. What he does, and this is a pretty nice guy. When he emailed me like, hey, where's the attribution? When I told him what happened, he was very mellow about it. So kudos to him for being cool about our mess up. But you know what's happening here, right? We got the Hobbit. What are the iconic images?
One ring.
The ring, right? One ring to rule them all.
Gandalf's pipe.
Sting.
Who? What's this?
That's Sting. It's the blade.
It's the blade. I don't know which blade. I saw it, but it's called Sting. Okay, what's this?
Lonely Mountain.
Lonely Mountain, right? Now let's go. I love these. I mean, I could look at these all day. Have you seen Wes Anderson's Life Aquatic? If you haven't, The Submarine. I actually didn't like Wes Anderson's Life Aquatic, so I'll go beyond that. Okay. Space Odyssey, right? You got the obelisk. You got the bone that the monkey throws, 2001. You got the ending with the birth of the new, right, artificial, maybe human intelligence, and then how. I mean, what's great, and what I love about these assignments is the way in which they really ask you to not only work within serious limitations, but to distill the very essence of a film or of a show to four simple icons, right? I did this assignment, but I cheated. I didn't draw the icons. I found them on Google and then put them together. But I'm actually going to have to push myself and draw them. But for the time being, I did cheat a little bit. The Big Lebowski, one of the great films ever. David, I saw that you quoted from it the last time I mentioned it. And I wouldn't be surprised if The Big Lebowski comes up at least once a class, right? And the other thing is, the last time I taught this, or two times ago when I taught this, Big Lebowski was my header images for the entire class. It just rotated through Big Lebowski shots, the one with John Turturro licking the ball, right, when he plays Jesus. That's awesome. Okay, so the White Russian, the rug, it was all about the rug. He peed on your rug, dude. He peed on your rug. And then what's this? The toe. You want a toe? I'll get you a toe. Get you a toe by 3 o'clock this afternoon. Amateurs, right? Classic scene. And then, of course, the bowling ball. What this does, and you just notice, I'm going through the icons, and I'm quoting the film, right? They obviously are key points in that film from my own recollection of it. And what's interesting about this four icon challenge is it really connects, and I'm a big film fan, it connects for me deeply. Right? As soon as I hear it, I'm locked in. As soon as I see them, I'm locked in. Right? And I want to think about what I and this particular artist have in common. Yes, go for it, Ryan.
Isn't this a lot like the five photo?
It is.
It's a lot like it because you have to tell a story in five photos.
That's right. And what I like about this is with the five photo story for the five Flickr card, you actually tell the story with text afterwards, right?
Yeah.
What I like about this is there's no text. It's just icons. And you're telling the story of a story we presumably share, The Big Lebowski, or whatever it is. And a number of you have done this, so we'll look at them. But now you can, you don't have to only do films. Look at this, The Great Gatsby, doing novels. We're going to talk about some of the design around novels that I think is really fun. We'll look at some of this, and I want you guys, if you can, go nuts with this. But The Great Gatsby. I mean, a lot of you are lit majors. I'm sure you're in college, you've read a book or two. What would be the four iconic images for a book? This is where it gets fun, and Jordan's not here tonight, but she had a great post, like, I can't believe I'm getting credit for this stuff. It should be fun to play with this, and it should also push you, right? Artistically and aesthetically, like you've already seemed to be doing with your pictures. So there's The Great Gatsby, Romeo and Juliet. I love the coloring on this, too. And more and more. I mean, he's quite a designer, fascinating stuff. So there's another example of that. Now let me go back here. And okay, this is great because this is local. This is a UMW student who just did this on UMW blogs. I don't know, how many of you know of that crazy professor named Mara Scanlon?
Yeah.
Anyone? Yeah, she's a nut, right?
Yeah, she's
good. Thank you for confirming that. Well, Mara Scanlon, her classes are kind of like events. Like, it's not like you go to the class and you're like, you kind of sleep through it. Like, if you're not completely engaged, she is on you like white on rice. There is no joke. Yes?
I had two classes with her freshman year.
You did?
One semester. So, yeah.
Can you attest to that?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
If you're, like, slouching in class, just, like, sitting there, every class was a discussion about very womanly books.
Yeah.
So, it's a very feminine class. But, I mean, it was...
But you had to in her class, right? Yeah, I like that. I mean, she's hardcore. Well, she's teaching a class called Edhead, Emily Dickinson and HD, two poets. Well, what the class is already thinking about, what is it, week 5? They're already thinking about a class t-shirt. And this is what one of the students came up with. Emily Dickinson with this poet, which I think is quite a great design, right? And this is local here. This is a student for Maura Scanlon's Edhead class, right? And I love the idea of thinking about design in terms of t-shirts, bumper stickers. You'll see a couple where last semester, one of the students went crazy with postcards. It was really fun stuff, right? So don't limit yourself. I really love this one. Okay, this is what they're starting to call 8-bit art. Has anyone heard of this? This is the first I'm really hearing it. 8-bit art is fun. It's seemingly, I haven't done it yet. But you can't see it that well here. This is called Superheroes Minimalized. It's on a site. Found on the site via Tim Owens, who will be talking with us on Thursday, called Flowing Data. So he submitted this one, I believe. What you have, anyone know who this is?
Wolverine,
right? And then you have Wolverine again. My favorite is Flash. Does anyone see Flash?
Yeah.
Is that Flash?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. What these are, they're 8-bit icons of superheroes, right? And this, once again, constraining the art, rather than making elaborate pieces that are realistic and show the muscle, the musculature and the chest and the big old biceps, right? They actually bring it down to its almost least expressive. But in some ways, it's even more expressive when you start looking at that. And here's a great example, 8-bit art. You know, what could you kind of, I like this idea for making an icon for your site. I'd really like to see you guys start playing with, you got your own website, you got your own space there. What's going to be that iconic image for your own site? Come up with an iconic image that you think represents you. I mean, that totally makes sense to me given what you're doing right now, right? And use this as an example to play with it, right? How many of you have ever seen, when you see, and I'll show it to you here, right? On the DS106 site, you see this little thing right up here, right? It's actually from Cool Hand Luke, and it was done by Scott Leslie. He actually did a whole series of animated GIFs early on in December. Well, that's an animated GIF that's called My Favicon. And you'll see this when you go to a site. Google has the big G. That's a favicon in the URL space. What would your favicon be? Design your own favicon. Design your own site icon. Think about that as a way of presenting yourself, right? And what's fun about this is it also plays with this idea of self-marketing, right? It also plays with this idea of what we know is this visual space of representation that we're kind of, you know, subsumed in every day. But how many of us think for a second to step outside of that and create something within it? Right? Make a mark within it. So play with that. I mean, I really love this idea of creating your own iconic image. I'm going to actually work on that myself. I love this one. I love this one. I love this one. Spacesick, and I'm committing, I'm going to do this. This amount, I'm going to submit it tonight. I'm going to do one of these. There's this person out there, they have a series called I Can Read Movies series. And I just think, to me, like, this is what the internet was made for. It was exactly things like this. And given I'm a film nut, it's all the better. The idea behind this design series is such. These are all books based on movies. And it's about the novelization of a movie that was never really novelized, right? That was never a novel. So what this person did is they imagined what would the cover of this book look like. How many of you have seen Highlander, right, with Sean Connery? What happens in Highlander? Anyone remember? Yeah, Andrew.
Cuts off the heads to get the power.
Exactly. It's all about cutting off heads. It's a big cut-off head movie, right? Well, look at the title. Anyone could do this. It's stick figures, you know, 20 of them which don't have their head, and one which does, because the whole Highlander thing is there can only be one left, one actual powerful thing. But look at how this person recreates this novel cover without the heads, a very simple bodies. I just think it's brilliant. And if you know Highlander, you would say, yes, that's brilliant. If you don't know Highlander, you're like, well, it's a bunch of stupid stick figures without heads. But it's an idea of also cultural knowledge. Face Off, how many of you have seen the John Woo film, right? Here's a kind of very minimalistic vision of what the novel cover would look like. And I love how they're kind of like these 70s novel covers. Look at Close Encounters with the pixelated sky and that kind of classic, you know, what would you call this? In the desert, a step, what would you call that kind of? Yeah, a step in the desert, it's brilliant. Big, just one hand over the other. Have you seen Tom Hanks's Big? Right, I'm wondering, I don't want to go on the film literacy rant again. I'm trying to stay away from that. Ghostbusters, right? That's just genius, 16 candles. Very simple representation of that John Hughes films through 16 candles. Teen Wolf. One of my favorites, I'm a particular fan of this, Shaun of the Dead. You got the one with the tie, that iconic image. Look how much fun this must be. Caddyshack, brilliant. Back to the Future, Mean Girls. Mean Girls was a huge, I never had seen Mean Girls until last semester they forced me to, but I saw Mean Girls, all the Twilights, and now I'm working my way through Harry Potter. And that's probably, but I can't expect you to see the films I like and then turn around and when you tell me you like stuff, be like, no, I wouldn't watch that. No, I gotta, you know, you gotta be who you are. You gotta return the favor. Mean Girls, there was a whole bunch of mashups on Mean Girls, and I don't know Mean Girls, the film, that well, but after having seen it, this seems like a very apropos title, because it's all about being a bitch, right? Okay, Labyrinth, Hudsucker Proxy, it's great, because the whole thing's about the hula hoop, but where's my favorite? Okay, here it is. I'm a big zombie fan, and like you see this? This is Dawn of the Dead, which was never made a novel, and once again done with stick figures. And look at the gremlins, it's brilliant. But the stick figures, one zombie touches one of them, and then they all become zombies, right? This kind of contagion of the zombie. And so simple in its design, yet so powerful. So even playing on this person's vision, what would a novel look like for you? Would you go and design a novel? I'm going to try this. How many of you have seen Blade Runner? Awesome movie. If you haven't seen it, what are you waiting for? Well, Blade Runner, this is a very interesting choice. And it's actually, we're going to do one of our assignments this semester is about video. And it's actually about you commenting on a video. You're going to go through a particular movie, one of your favorites, and you're going to give like a director's commentary about why it's important, right? Well, I love this book cover because my director's commentary this semester is going to be about Blade Runner. And it's going to be about the importance of eyes and the ways in which eyes always work their way back into the theme. And it's so beautifully developed by Ridley Scott over this two-hour film. It's just genius. Well, I love how what these book covers are also doing is they're not only kind of, you know, creating this beautiful design that I really love, this kind of minimalistic but gorgeous design, but there's something in there, like with the animated GIFs, on If Not, Remember Me, that actually gets at the theme of the book beautifully. And that's the other side of it. Not only to do something kitschy, but to actually represent that piece of work, that cultural artifact, in some interesting, insightful ways. That's where it becomes more than just an exercise, right? That's where it becomes something, what I think is closer to art. And I love this Blade Runner one. I just love it. I think it captures the spirit of that film. Okay, so this is an assignment I'm gonna put up. And this was found on the blog SpaceSick. And I just think, you know, say what you will about the blogosphere, when you see people doing work like that because they love it, and because they're into it, it gives me hope in humanity. It really does. All right, so we haven't even gotten to the fun stuff yet. Have you guys seen this? This is great. Now, you guys, this is from College Humor. That shows you where I'm at right now. And there's gonna be nude girls. No, there's no nude girls at the time. There was like before in College Humor, there was like two not nude, but scantily dressed women on either side of them. I was like, what's going on here? Okay, what is this doing? Who wants to tell me? This is the times and places you'll go by Dr. Yeah.
It's illustrating the latest series of Doctor Who, which is about a space traveler, and the lady on the left is his companion, and he's holding a sonic screwdriver.
Great. So you obviously like Doctor Who. Okay.
Just a little.
Good. Well, now, what is it playing on? It's obviously doing Doctor Who, but what aesthetic is it choosing?
Dr.
Seuss. It's just a beautiful mashup, right? Of Doctor Who and Dr. Seuss as a book cover. And I love these book cover designs. I just think they're so fun. Now, it doesn't stop there. Look at this. The Very Deadly Bounty Hunter. Boba Fett's, like, for some reason, is, like, blowing up right now in terms of the design field. I'm going to show you another great thing with Boba Fett. Has anyone ever heard the song Fett's Vet? Yeah, I heard that on DS106 Radio. I was like, what the hell is this? It was like fan fiction dedicated to Boba Fett in song. And it's an awesome song. I love it. Boba Fett, my son was Boba Fett for Halloween. And I have a deep, deep special spot for Fett. Okay, and then look at this. Kirk and Spock are friends, right? All based on children's books by Gene Roddenberry. And I love this one. The Battlestar Bears learn about cyclones. Right, it's great because the Bernstein Bears are so pedantic. Right, when they go through it, like, oh, you shouldn't do this. And I love that, like, you know, they're getting ready to battle the cyclones. It's just beautiful. Okay, and I love this one, too. Good night, Dune. Right? You know, good night, Moon. Good night, Dune. This stuff is, I love it. And why do I love it? Because I do think it shows an unbelievable range of cultural knowledge and of working between different registers of our culture. And mashing it up and rethinking it. One of the things I love about DS106 Radio, one of the things I love about this class, is it gives you the opportunity to think about the culture you've imbibed and rethink it and twist on it. That doesn't mean fight against it, rage against it. You could do what you like with that. But to actually interact and participate within the creation of it, to reimagine it, to rethink it, to rework it. Right? And that's examples of this. And it's funny they pass it off of, oh, you know, this is just College Humor. No. This is a whole different means of thinking about the cultural moment we live in. It's a totally different thing. You know, maybe it is just College Humor, but I see something so much deeper in it. Oh, I mean, these are travel posters. These are awesome. This is Bespin, Cloud City. And this is basically like a travel brochure for Bespin. And it goes on. Let's go to this. This is in Screen Rant. And you'll see you got Tatooine, and then you have Tatooine, right? The two moons. Has anyone seen Twin Sons? You've seen the video? Twin Sons of Tatooine taught me everything I know. Okay, we'll watch that in a second. Okay. That video just blows my mind. Okay, Tatooine, Hoth. Look at this. Isn't it brilliant? Travel posters? Make a travel poster for a classic place. In a film, right? To make travel posters for Lord of the Rings, right? Gondor, the only one, and I'll show you one, a student of mine who did a wonderful one. Endor, right? Dagobah system, and Bespin, right? I mean, this is a brilliant design assignment where you take travel posters, and you start to see this was born out of my fan fiction section last semester, where we did a lot of this within fan fiction. But I started to realize this kind of goes beyond fan fiction, because these are designs, right? This is kind of people mashing up the culture they've been given into these unique new media, right? Like travel posters for Star Wars. It's brilliant. I mean, the idea is almost more powerful than the actual product. It's the idea of having it. Now, the product is quite beautiful in this example anyway, but still. Okay, Twin Sons of Tatooine. Twin Sons of Tatooine. Song. Powers. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm going to stop for a second. Let me see if this will be loud enough. Let me see if I can get the audio in the room. All right, we're going to get a little bit of a... Okay, yeah. This will be better. Let's see if this works. Oh, check this out. Things going on this. How is this done? Anyone have an idea?
Stop motion.
Well, stop motion.
Yes.
Bar
style.
But
yeah.
What did they do?
Construction paper.
Construction paper. Stop motion and construction paper. That's insane. What's more, there's an editorial going on. There's someone who did the song. He composed the song and it became a phenomenon on the internet, right? Twin Sons of Tatooine taught me everything I know. Me and my son was singing this around the house. For like a month, we couldn't get it out of our heads. But on the other side, there's also a commentary going on with the video and the song, and the guy had written about it. You notice that there's none of the prequels, 1, 2, and 3, because they didn't really exist. They were never really made. And you'll notice the Ewok, there's no sign of the Ewoks either, because that was a sign of what was to come with 1, 2, 3, so they edited that out. So they also talk about, you know, George Lucas is a perfect example of someone who got everything they ever wanted to, and then went on to ruin the series with 1, 2, and 3, which I entirely agree with. But at the same point, think about the retelling of Star Wars in construction paper. And tell me that you would ever think it would be that compelling as an artistic model. And once again, this art isn't coming from the Louvre, right? It's not coming from Paris. It's coming from some maniac who's got time and construction paper. That is cool. All right. So, now, there's Bespin. Okay, now, we go to Boba Fett. This is where I'm telling you, Boba Fett, I heard Boba Fett's vet, and I think I talked about this to you already in the beginning of the semester. Here is Boba Fett's invoice to Jabba for getting Han Solo, right? And it breaks down the prices, how much it cost them, right? Tracked and captured Han Solo alive and delivered Solo encased in carbonite to Jabba the Hutt. Listed bounty, what is it? I think it's like 100,000. Service fee, 75,000. Carbonite aesthetic display, 50,000. Shipping and handling, another 15,000. And ammunition, jetpack fuel, etc., 10,000. Right? But think about, someone spent the time to sit down and think, what would Boba Fett's invoice look like? So there's the first maniac thought. What would Boba Fett's invoice to Jabba the Hutt look? And then they went about designing it. And with the little kind of flourish over 30 years experience, right? The little Boba Fett helmet, right? And the invoice coming down. I mean, any of you could go into Google Docs right now, bust out an invoice in Google Docs, and create an invoice for any character you wanted from any different kind of movie, piece of literature, etc. And I'm interested to think about what the design would say about your interpretation of that particular cultural artifact, right? There's something happening here with design. You know, we often think of design as something somewhat distinct from our interpretation of these works. But I think what we need to think about this week is how it's integral to our interpretations of this work. How design speaks just as loudly as our critical essays, right? One of the things the university's got to think about is busting away from this deep, dark reliance on critical essays. All right. Now, these are the best. And I just love what I've chosen. I mean, I'll pat myself on the back. This is an infographic for Aliens versus Predator. And it actually takes you through the whole thing. And this is from the blog Make, and this is kind of a DIY culture blog, right? It takes you through an infographic of all the different elements of their challenges. I think one of the more famous ones is this. Has anyone ever seen this?
Yes.
Mega Shark? What is it called? I think it's, yeah, it's called Mega Shark. Let's take a second and go through this, right? In Mega Shark, there's a particular scene. Anyone remember the scene? What happens in Mega Shark?
It leaps out of the water and snaps a plane
in two. That's right. A mega shark dives deeply into the water. I think about, I don't know, they'll actually, this infographic will break down how deep exactly. And then flies up 30,000 feet in the air out of the ocean and chews, or actually attacks, a plane. And if you don't believe me, let us go to YouTube and look for mega shark plane. Just so you know that I'm on the up and up. Okay? So here we go. The most ridiculous thing I've ever seen? Maybe. Okay. So here is the scene. The stewardess is taking them through. Planes flying. Right? He's just hanging out. She's hanging out. A little scary. Calm down. Things fine. Don't worry. It's good. Holy shit. And there is the shark attacking the plane in midair at 30,000 feet. Right? So, obviously, this is kind of my kind of thing. It's like a B-movie play on the whole shark idea, and I'm a big fan of sharks, too. But what they do here is someone takes this example as literal, and they make an infographic of it. So watch. We'll go back here, Alien versus Predator, and here's the mega shark. And look how well done this is. A key weapon in Megashark's arsenal is its air attack. This skill is witnessed in Megashark versus Giant Octopus, where Megashark successfully takes down a plane cruising at cloud level. Let's take a closer look at how this majestic yet deadly creature would seemingly defy physics to complete such a feat. So what they do here, and why I think this is remarkable, is they compare Mega Shark, which is at 40 meters, 240 tons, to a Megalodon, which is this prehistoric shark, which was monstrous, to a great white, which is only 6 meters, 18 feet, right? And it gives you some sense of perspective, as a good infographic should. But then here, it talks step by step about how deep and how fast Mega Shark must go in order to propel himself or herself 30,000 feet to get the film. And they actually do the physics. They do the math. And they break it down, and they beautifully design it as an infographic. And I'm really find this as a way of teaching and a way of communicating this idea of the design. I mean, this is obviously something have a lot of fun, and it kind of rippled around the internet of, wow, look at this crazy infographic. But think about how we can teach physics and math through this kind of design, through the elements of design. I think there's a lot of kind of fun stuff happening here, and not only that, but it's fun to look at and to trace through. It's almost like a video game. How many of you ever had those Richard Starry books? When you open them up, right? And there's all these things, and you read, okay, wheelbarrow, banana car, truck. I was thinking, I go through with those with my kids regularly, I always think that that's kind of like the internet. There's no narrative, really. It's just a series of links to things that you can talk about. And like, the design principle there is not about any one defined idea of linearity and narrative. It's about the idea of tracing things, tracing themes across space and across time. And to me, design gets at this far better in some ways for thinking the internet than our traditional ideas of linear narrative. And design in some ways can cross along that space in different ways. And I think it's key to think about that. All right, so there's infographics. That could be a lot of fun. And there's an assignment up there. Here's a good one. This is postcards, and you can even do bumper stickers. I'm proud to say this was done by a DS-106 alumni, Lindsay. She did a fine job on this. And let's go to her blog. And not only did she do the design, Gondor is for lovers, right? You got the tree and the little thing, which I think is brilliant. And she just found this stuff and kind of, you know, used collage on the web, right? So this isn't out. This is done by a student like you, right? And so it's time to break, demystify the idea of, well, that's designers doing out there. She was a geologist. That's what she's doing. She had a blast. But then she actually wrote up the postcard. Dear Rosie, despite a near-death experience at Mount Doom, I've made it to Minas true, safe, and sound. This city is pretty sweet. Well, unless you're not a fan of heights. It's nice to be clean and well-fed again. Traveling across Middle-earth with Frodo turned out to be a little more than I bargained for. He's actually a pretty whiny traveler, and it didn't help that I had to carry him most of the way. See you again someday, Sam. How fun is that? And also with the commentary, it's fan fiction that takes you outside of the narrative and gives you another perspective of Sam rather than being kind of a stalwart hobbit. You know, he's kind of annoyed with Frodo, wouldn't you be? He's always crying, his eyes are always glassed and big, right? It's like you're tired. And then greetings from Rivendell. Rock on, look at that. A student did this. She had ideas. You know, I'm gonna do a whole series of postcards from Lord of the Rings. I just think this is inspired work. And once again, it had the thing, this is dearest, I think it's Pookie, I mean Aragorn, because I know you hate pet names. I hope all is well over in Rohan. Things are pretty boring in Rivendell, and Dad keeps pressuring me to leave Middle-earth because he keeps saying that immortality is awesome. It's pretty annoying since I'm like 2,700 years old already. When will I be able to make decisions for myself? And then question mark. Exclamation point. Anyway, if you see Legolas, tell him I know that he's the one who took my Pantene when everyone left Rivendell. How is Princess to maintain her luscious elven locks now? Love, you know, how do you pronounce her name again?
Arwen.
Okay. P.S. Pause off of?
Eowyn.
Okay. So, I mean, and then Hype Doom. That's great, right? Hype Mount Doom. So obviously the student had a lot of fun with the design and actually used pre-existing images to for the postcard to create her own kind of aesthetic, and also an intervention in the narrative of Lord of the Rings, which I love. You know, and we've seen over the course of what I've been showing you today with design, design is a great way to intervene into culture, intervene into your culture, and comment on it. Have fun with it. Think about it. Right? Key. All right. Now, we're almost there. I love this. This is a mashup of both Empire, okay, and it's basically saying, who's watching the Empire? That's the kind of tagline for this. It's basically Watchmen meets, you know, the Stormtrooper, the Empire. Wonderful, kind of simple in concept, but very effective in practice. Okay, and now let's go to DS-106. Because what we have on the DS-106 site, and I talked about this last week, but let me reiterate it now. On the DS-106 site, and you've already been doing this, we have a plethora of examples of assignments that you can play with. And if you don't like any of the assignments, fine. Submit your own and do it. Right? That's my thing. You don't like it? Fine. Do your own and submit it. Let other people try and do it, and also show us your example. So, without further ado, let's go to the DS-106 site and look at some of the examples that are on there right now. I'll start with the big caption. We had a couple of good examples. This was submitted by Tim Owens, who I'm very happy is going to be with us next on this Thursday on DS-106 Radio. I expect you all to be tuning in to DS-106 Radio at 6 o'clock Thursday, class time. You want to come here and set up here? That's fine. I'll make sure. If anyone wants to help me get that set up in this classroom, then we can do it right from here and you can ask questions. So if I have any volunteers, come talk to me at the class and I'll show you how to get it set up. It's very easy. And I look favorably upon volunteers. All right. Now, I look favorably upon you all, but volunteers in particular. Okay, look. In the spirit of the big caption, take any photo featured on the big picture and add typographical text elements in a way that changes the message. All right? So, we had a couple examples, but before I go to those examples done by students in this class, let me take a moment out. These are the two tags, design assignments and a design assignment 6, that you need to include on your post for it to show up correctly on the course site. Does that make sense with the tags? They will be there for every design assignment. You'll see the two tags you need. Okay, so here is, this one's done by David, right? Look at this. I fly like paper, get high like planes. Look at this crazy dude. Where is this, in Russia?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know how this relates to that, but I love the incongruous nature of the whole thing. I mean, and I love this guy here, getting ready to do it. Now this one's pretty wild, look at that. Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player. And look at that. I mean, that's almost like a powerful poster, right? Between the images of the hands, and you see I love the cell phone there, and then this kind of vision of the true player. Very well done. And aesthetically, your choice of font, and bring that true player, nice, nice work. All right, now, let's go and look at another one. This one's by Jordan. Look at this. I love this. Skaters gonna skate. And what is it? Just got, you know. Is it haters gonna hate? Is that the original one? I love the play on this. I love how she's playing this. Now, a few of us had to ask, was it you two, Sarah? What'd they ask?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know what ASL meant. But it had this guy looking at this computer, right? And underneath it was A/S/L. What does ASL mean again?
Age, sex, location.
Which basically, I guess, there was kind of internet speak they used for creepers when they went forums and stuff. You know, ASL was basically like someone who was looking for your age, your sex, and your location. Obviously, he was trying to come to your house, right? Like the whole scare internet thing, like, be careful of those forums. They're going to come to your house, and you know how that goes. So this guy, unfortunately for him, is now seen in terms of DS-106 as a forum creeper. This guy is probably like, what a nightmare. Sorry. Okay, this is great. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. This is fun. And it's also interesting the way in which the commentary works. One of the things you really want to think about, there's a great site out there, how important fonts are for design. start thinking about fonts, start playing with fonts. There's a great site called DaFont, dafont.com. You can get a ton of fonts. You can also match fonts from movie posters, match fonts from book covers, and you can actually put the image up there and it will find the font. Fonts make all the difference in your design for making it look legit. So play. I love the what David did with font, and I love what Jordan does with font here. So that's great stuff. Now, let's look at some others. We had the playlist madness, right? The playlist went crazy, and those are great. If you haven't seen those playlists, go check them out. Fine work with Colleen getting that all rolling. That's some great stuff, and I saw some amazing poems come through. I don't know how many of Colleen's were done. We could look at that in a second. Let's take a look. There's the four icon challenge, right? We talked about this a bit, right? Here it is. There's the visual assignments. A ton of people did this as well. I liked, Megan, let's take a look at yours. I like these because they were hand done, right? And this is the movie Castaway, right? He worked for FedEx. There was the fire, I guess he started on the island. The beach ball, which was his friend, or the volleyball, which was his friend, he drew a head on it, right? And that was sad, we lost him. And then what is this?
Ice cubes. I just remember him on
the plane drinking the ice cubes. I mean, I love this, four iconic images, and didn't even have to get hypertextual, right? Drew them, scanned them, you were done, right? And where did you draw them?
Well, I drew them on paper and then I traced them on the computer, so.
That's awesome. You gotta show us how you did that. I'd love a blog post about that process. So here, perfect example. And this is stuff you guys are doing, and luckily, the FedEx for me and the volleyball gave it away. And the idea is I love not knowing and being forced to guess. I showed you Tom Woodward's one last time. This is my pathetic attempt, and I want to see if any of you get it. Let's see how good you are. Okay, these are my four images. Husky, helicopter, petri dish, and flamethrower. Yes, Andrew.
Same.
Yes! 1982. Yes, very good work. Extra 10 points for you. Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. How could you not know this is the thing? That's the question I have. Good. Don't tss me. I hear that. I hear your tss. I'll raise your tss with a double tss. With a tss. Tss. All right. You want to tss me? You want to tss my project? You tss me? Okay. Here's tons. Illustrate 106. Summarize a movie with animated GIFs. If you haven't seen what people have done with this, it's amazing. Both Tim Owens and Lisa M. Lane have done some phenomenal work. Tim Owens did Wizard of Oz. Lisa M. Lane did 2001, and I love what they did with the animated GIFs. And many of you haven't really, I saw Ryan played a little bit with the animated GIF, but you guys haven't played with the animated GIF, whereas like everyone has played with it in the open part. I mean, that might be something that's fun to play with. And if you play with the animated GIF, actually do a tutorial. Let people know you do it. Ryan linked to a very simple site where he did it right online, and it didn't take much at all. That assignment is this, say it like peanut butter. And this was started by Tom Woodward, I think. He actually at least put the assignment up. But make an animated GIF from your favorite, least favorite movie, capturing the essence of a key scene. Make sure the movement is minimal but essential. Right? Yet another assignment you can play with. Now, we had a ton. I love this assignment. This was submitted by Lisa Lane, who's been doing some phenomenal work for this class. I don't know if you've seen this. But someone who was talking about, oh, it was actually Catherine, who's in the online portion. She has the Old Man Sweaters blog, which I love, the whole Old Man Sweaters. I love the fact that every post is about how she's an old person who's really like 20. And I told her, like, I'm not old yet, but she said anyone over 35 is effectively old, which I take offense to, but not really. But anyway, she was talking about going to Google, and Google now has this thing where you can actually view artwork, right, from the major museums around the world. Well, what Lisa M. Lane did with this assignment is she took a famous artist's work and just changed the message a little bit. So what she did is she intervened in the work. And what she did with this one is she actually took an image and she actually animated the little smokestack. So it was actually an animated GIF artwork where the smoke was actually rising out of the artwork. Brilliant. I mean, it's so subtly done. Because what was great is I saw it laughing over with the animated GIF. right? The two were kind of interpenetrating each other, but not in a sexual way, in an artistic way, right? So it was really kind of cool to watch that. And there's a ton. So there's the visual. Let's take a look at the design. Now, there's a ton of design assignments. The Pokemon card, I love this. Jordan put this up today, and it's actually building on, I love the way this is happening right now. Jordan's assignment is building on Colleen's. Colleen's assignment was make a playlist. Jordan's assignment now is, this is part two of Colleen's visual assignments. Now that you've made a playlist story, give it album art. Yes, absolutely. You've made your playlist story, now make an album art around it. How would you design your own CD cover? Right? How would you break down the songs? What would the cover for that CD look like? Or that poem? Right? So I like that this is kind of playing on Colleen's. Right? And that is in the spirit of this class, is to kind of build upon each other's creativeness. Right? Really powerfully done. Infographic, this just came up. We talked about infographics. Tim Owens just put this up. Check this out. That's a fun one. DS106 Radio, I wanted to plug this. This is one I submitted. We have a radio station for this class. You'll all be using it come week 6 and 7. Well, the radio station needs an aesthetic, right? We need to have our own unique aesthetic for that radio station. Why can't we, as members of DS106, come up with that aesthetic? It's a perfect kind of application of what design does, right? And I point to WFMU. Any of you know WFMU? I love their aesthetic and what they do. I mean, play, and they have so much fun with their aesthetic, and it really defines who they are. Great radio station, and great, anyone, this one too, another one by Tim Owens, and this is why I'm bringing Tim Owens in on Thursday. He's been a beast in terms of bringing all these design assignments to the fore for us to play with. This one is tell a story by breaking it down into common elements, themes, and recreating it as a sketch. It's almost like taking Da Vinci's sketches and breaking them down into a very simple thing. Like making a sandwich. This is a sketch of how to make a sandwich done in the Da Vinci style. Right? It's really cool because it also has a lot in common with the infographic. Now, some people have been doing this already, and I love the one that was done in Martha Burtis's, a student in Martha Burtis's class did this already. They did, let's go here, I think we can find it. I love what she did. This is the minimalistic movie poster or show poster. How many of you know MacGyver? Anyway, MacGyver could do anything, right? All he needed was a paperclip. So this is MacGyver, and the minimalistic art is a paperclip. You know, MacGyver would like, duct tape. Give me duct tape, and I'll create an atomic bomb, right? I mean, it was just awesome. And it was so unreal that he became kind of a pop figure. Now, we got a few of these minimalistic posters. This one's great, right? So here's a student in the other section one. And I love the fat cat on her blog. But she actually took a series of parts from The Black Swan and just made it minimalistic. She went through her whole process, which I love. And there's her poster. Black Swan. Well done. Not only very well done, but I really love the way she documents how she did it. Right? It's a great example. Great example. And that minimalistic movie poster, it's another one I'm trying to do. I'm going on a theme right now for The Thing. I did my 4 caption images of The Thing. I'm going to do a minimalistic movie poster tonight of The Thing. And then I'm going to do some audio of The Thing because I'm doing a show on Thursday about The Thing with Martin Weller on DS106 Radio. So I want this to feed into other stuff you do. I mean, that's the point of it. Here's another one. Let's take a look at this. I really like this. This was by AJ. I haven't seen True Grit yet, but this is the movie poster she created for True Grit. Let's take a look at this. I don't know why it's not showing up, but oh yeah. So you kind of can see it, right? Has anyone seen True Grit? Okay, what's the significance? I haven't seen it. Is that like an eye patch?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. Well done. And simple. I love this idea. And you'll notice with a lot of the design assignments, at least a lot of ones that are coming up for this class, rather than making you get more elaborate, they're actually asking you to distill, to get even more economical with your design. And I like that, because not only does it make it more doable for those of us who aren't professional designers, but also makes you distill your thinking, right? That's like you do when you think about writing an essay. You're thinking about making an argument. You distill it down to that thesis statement. What is the one thing that represents this film or movie or whatever? And then you're asked not to write about it for 10 pages of some kind of arbitrary length, but to create an image. Love that. I mean, just radically different than what we do usually. Okay, and then there's a whole number. Now notice, there's gotta be about 50 assignments that people have already done that I haven't assigned. So there's examples for you there, too, to look at. So go into the submitted assignment, look for something you wanna do, both in the visual and in the design, and I have to say there's some overlap between the visual and design, right? Some are in design that should be in visual, some are in visual that should be in design, so it's kind of fluid in my mind. But, for example, this one. You see what's happening with What the Font? This is one I want to try too. What someone is doing is using fonts, and again, Boba Fett, to create Boba Fett out of fonts, different colored fonts. This must be extremely time-consuming, but I really like how that looks. I mean, and what's cool is you can also rate which ones you like and which ones you don't, and that allows you to see the top-rated assignments. And this was something Martha Burtis and I put together for this class. I don't know of another class where you can submit assignments and do them on the fly like this and decide what you like and what you don't, and if you don't like the assignment, you make your own. You are really part of the building of this class. And this is stuff I'll obviously bring into future iterations of the class. So in some ways, you're making your stamp, your mark on the class. Right, Lex?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Good. Okay. So with that, let me just see. One shot. Summarize the movie. Newspaper Blackout. That's another interesting one. Troll Quotes. I haven't seen the Troll Quotes one. Change of Expression. Say It Like Peanut Butter, that's the one we talked about. Okay, so you get the idea, right? Over the course of the semester, you're gonna have to at least do 4 or 5 of these submitted assignments, these extra assignments. This week, I'm gonna ask you to step it up and do 1 in visual and 1 in design, okay? So play with this. Be sure to tag it properly, and if we have any questions, let me know. Now that's it for class, but if you wanna volunteer for Thursday to set up the audio in this class so that people can hear Tim and I talk here, please come up and talk to me. Otherwise, you're going to do it through DS-106 radio. All right, any questions, you come talk to me. That's it for tonight.